wanted to talk about the Maftir and Haftorah special of the first four Haftorahs and Maftirs leading up till Pesach. This is called Parsha Shkolim, and it's also the Seder of Vayakel. Now the obvious connection, the Maftir is Kisisa, which we explained last week, first portion of that, which speaks about giving the half shekel to the Mishkan. That half shekel was used to make the sockets which served as the base of the Mishkan. That was made out of pure silver, and they were made out of the half shekels that every Jew, rich, poor, everybody had to give the same thing, the half shekel. And in the future, there was another law of giving a half shekel every year, started in Adar, in order that when Nisan came, which was a new year, they would bring the public sacrifices from that money. A public sacrifice could not be donated individually by a person. It had to be brought by the half shekel that went into the Beis HaMikdash treasury, and the money was brought from that communal money. Then that was the Korban Sefer. Those were the communal sacrifices bought from communal money. And every year they had to make a new collection, that the sacrifices of that year came from that year's money and not a previous year's money. Okay. Now there's a difference. Now the Haftorah speaks about in the time of Yoash, King Yoash, where the Beis HaMikdash had been in disrepair because they had been serving idolatry and they didn't use the Beis HaMikdash, and in fact they even harmed it, and it was in terrible terrible condition. And Yoash asked the Kohanim first to take money from the people they knew as contributions, and then he made a pushkin right next to the altar where people would come. They would give money for the restoration and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So we have here the idea that the money going to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash in the Haftorah corresponding to the money that is was given to the building of the Mishkan and the upkeep of the sacrifices later on. Now, there's a significant difference, though, between the money that was given in the Torah and the money that's spoken about in the Navi. The money given in the Torah was an equal amount that everyone had to give. The money that Yoash collected was whatever a person wanted to contribute, and it wasn't mandatory, it was voluntary, and not everybody gave the same thing. Okay. Also, there's another interesting point that needs to be explained, and that is that the Haftorah starts in a different place for the Sfaradim and for Ashkenazim. For Sfaradim, it starts with a paragraph that doesn't seem to have anything to do with this whole idea. It speaks about the covenant that the king Yoash made with the people, between himself and the people, between himself and God, and between the people and God. It was all one covenant. The people to God, the king to God, and the king to the people, and the people to the king. So that little paragraph precedes the Haftorah start of the Ashkenazim, which starts with Yoash and his speaking to the Kohanim to raise the funds to for the upkeep and the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. It would seem that where the Ashkenazim start the Haftorah is more in keeping with its connection to the Torah reading of Shkolim, rather than where the Sfaradim start, which really has nothing to do with this whole idea. So, and also, even though it's only incidental that this is Parsha Shkolim and it's connected to the weekly portion of Vayakel, but it's interesting that Vayakel also speaks about the actual giving of the truma, giving of the offerings and contributions to building the Mishkan, and hinted there is also this silver that was taken from the half shekels. So it happens to work out that even the Seder of the week speaks about the same idea. Now, explain the idea of how these four parshios prepare for Pesach. When we understand that, we'll go back and understand some of the questions that we ask. The idea is the following. In order to build a mikdash, okay, it says that there were three mitzvahs that the Jewish people had when they came into Eretz Israel. The first one was to appoint a king, the second to destroy Amalek, and the third to finally build a Beis HaMikdash. That means in order to build a Beis HaMikdash, you need unity, you need a king to bring unity to the people, because the Beis HaMikdash cannot be built by individuals. It has to be built by the tzibur. It has to be built by the community. It's a communal thing. And that's why it says in the beginning of the Seder, Vayakel Moshe. Moshe gathered, kol adas b'nei Israel. See, that's significant. He gathered the whole tzibur together in order to build the Mishkan. You can't build it from individuals. It's a communal effort. So first you need that community who are united under the king. Then you need to take the community and destroy the evil. Like it says, Sur Meira, the Aseh Tov. First take away the evil, then do good. So you need that communal mitzvah of destroying Amalek, right, as a community, and then you need to build the Beis HaMikdash as a community. So therefore, the first stage of preparing for Pesach, which is the new year for the community of the Jewish people, right, so it's Rosh Hashanah L'Malchei Yisrael. Pesach, Nisan, is the Rosh Hashanah for Jewish kings, which means it renews what? In other words, when a king ascends his throne, you start counting his year from Nisan. In other words, when Nisan comes, it's already 2 years. It doesn't go by the date of when he started. If he started, let's say, in Kislev, so at Nisan is year number two for him. And every Nisan is a new year.
So a new king is representative of
a
new community?
Right, a king is representative of the community, because the king is the one who unites everybody under him. So Pesach is the time that the Jewish people emerge, right, Nisan, when they emerge as a nation. We became a nation during Yetzias Mitzrayim. God took a nation out from under another nation. We weren't a nation before that. We were individuals, families, but we weren't yet a cohesive nation. So Malchei Yisrael, the Jewish king who represents the nation, makes his year start in Nisan. So first you have to create that unity. So what's the first parsha in preparation for Pesach, which is the emergence of the Jewish nation? First, make a unity between the people. And how do you do that? By everybody contributing towards the building of the Mishkan equally, and everybody contributing towards the sacrifices, right, the public sacrifices equally. And that was the foundation of the Mishkan. What did their money go to? The equal money, the silver, to make the sockets, which is the foundation of the Mishkan. The foundation of the Mishkan is Achdus, is unity, is a tzibur, is a community. And after that comes Parshas Zachar, which is the destruction of Amalek, second mitzvah. First one is the king, represented by unity. Then comes destroying Amalek. Then comes Parah Adumah, which is the Tahara. Now you, purify the Jewish people, right, in preparation for Korban Pesach. And then Parshas HaChodesh, HaChodesh HaTelochem, the new year, the new emergence of Klal Yisrael, right? And then Korban Pesach. And then we're ready for the Avoda, for the sacrifice of Korban Pesach, which represents the Beit HaMikdash. Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah is the purity, Parah Duma, right, the red heifer, which purifies the Jewish people and prepares them to be able to make sacrifices.
Wow. What was the middle one?
Parshas Zachar.
And how did
that's destruction of Amalek.
What I don't understand why it's not the half a shekel that represents the
Beit HaMikdash. What?
Why is it not the half a shekel?
It is. The half a shekel represented the foundation of the Mishkan, which was the unity of the Jewish people. By everybody having to give that half shekel, and everybody showing, I'm only a half. I'm not everything in myself. I have to be connected to somebody else, to other people. So that represented the unity that was needed to create a Mishkan. You can't build a Mishkan without unity. Now, the foundation of the seaboard is something that is incumbent on everybody equally. Everybody equally has to contribute towards creating a seaboard. Otherwise, it can't be a community, right? And that's why nobody gets more, nobody gets less. That's represented by the half shekel. Once you have a community, then within the community, some people can do more, some people can do less, some people do their talents, other people do their talents. So there's place for both the unique individual and the community where everybody's equal. The foundation of the community is equality between everyone. And then the enhancement of the community is everybody doing their unique special thing within the communal structure. Okay? And therefore, the Torah reading represents the foundation of the community, and the Haftorah adds this idea that there's an addition to that, there's an enhancement of that. Now that you have a community, now you can create each one doing his unique part. Not everybody does the same thing. To create the community, everybody has to do the same thing. To enhance the community, everybody does their special part. That's why the little box, the pushka, wasn't little, probably was a big box, that Yoash named was beside the Mizbeach. The altar represents the communal sacrifices that are equal to everybody. But next to it, in addition to it, an enhancement to it, was this box where everybody gave voluntarily what they could afford. People rich gave more, people poor gave less, some people gave this, some people gave something different. Everybody contributes their unique part. Now, there are, says that, what's it called, that in the Sedra, Vayakel Moshe Eskol Adas B'nei Yisrael, we see that there are three kinds of communities. Three aspects of the community. There's Kahal, Eda, and Yisrael. Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. And in fact, it says the Korban Pesach was brought in three groups of 10 each. Three groups of 10 each. Okay, minimum. What? Kahal, Eda, Yisrael. Okay, now, and because of this, it says when the Korban Pesach was brought, it was brought by Kahal Adas Yisrael. Three groups, therefore. The Gemara says, not sure if you need 30 people, three groups at once, or three separate groups. So therefore, you bring the Korban Pesach in groups of three, right, 30 each, minimum of 30 each, and that way you have all this, the separate things. You have three groups. And you have what's it called, the 30 also representing the total of the three groups. Okay? What? Because 10 is each group. Each seaboard is represented by a minion. It's 10. Okay. So now, from the Kahal side, what's Kahal? Everybody gathering together, right, physically. That everybody's equal. Everybody has one body, one vote. Right? It's equal representation. Everybody comes equally. They're just a bunch of bodies gathering together. Ada is people with the same common purpose. They testify. Ada means an aid, a testimony. They testify to the same goals, the same principles. That's also equal. Everybody shares the same goals, the same principles, same Torah. In those two respects, right, everybody's equal. But when it comes to Yisrael, that symbolizes Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. The words Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah spell Yisrael, the first letters. Yesh is Yud, Shishim Shin, Ribui Resh, Osios Aleph, LaTorah Lamed. That means there's 600,000 letters in the Torah. It means every Jew is like a different letter in the Torah. Every letter is different. And every letter, even the same letters, are different because of where their place is, which words they're in, right? Which paragraphs they're in. Every letter is a different letter. When it comes to Israel, there's place for each person to exhibit his uniqueness inside the structure of the community. So when it comes to Kahal and Eda, there it's the idea of the foundation of the community and the sacrifices brought by the community, right? That's all equal. That's all equal. That could be that the representation of the sockets of the Mishkan, which are the foundation of the Mishkan, that's the Kahal. That's the physical makeup of the tzibor, everybody uniting together bodily. Then there's the idea of testifying towards the same principles. That's the sacrifices. Those things, everybody contributes equally. Everybody's equal. But then the enhancement, right, that is everybody gives their own thing, what they have, and contributes their talents, right, more or less based according to their blessing. Okay, now, this, therefore, can explain why the Sfaradim start the Haftorah, right, with a paragraph that speaks about the covenant that the king made with the people, and the people with God, and the king with God. Because this represents the unity that precedes what the Haftorah speaks about, the unity where everybody contributes their own unique part. There first has to be a foundation where everybody is equal, where the king unites with the people, and the people unite with the king, and the people unite with each other, and they unite with God. That's all equal. So in order to represent the fact that there has to be something equal to begin with, they have that little paragraph, and then you have everybody's contribution to the community in their own unique way. Okay? The Ashkenazim, on the other hand, right, basically start with Yoash himself being the king, who was guided by the Kohen and by the Nevi'im, by which is a Medrash that says that the king has to be guided by the Kohanim and the Nevi'im, and he then leads the Jewish people. That in itself represents this unity where everybody's equal. You don't need that first paragraph, even though the first paragraph is much more explicit. But the fact that the first sentence of the Haftorah starts with Yoash, who followed the direction of the Kohen Yehoyada, represents this idea that there is a unity that's equal to everyone under the king with the direction of the Kohanim and the Nevi'im. And then it goes to the unique contributions of each person. Now, the truth is that in Yoash's time, there was a weakness in the community of everybody doing everything together, right, that foundation of the community, where everybody was equal. Because it says in Yoash's time, they didn't give up, even though they gave up idolatry, they didn't give up sacrificing to God on their own personal altars. Everybody had their own little altar to sacrifice to God. Instead of uniting in the Beis HaMikdash and bringing your sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash, everybody felt they had to do their own thing. So Yoash, I think, realized that he couldn't demand of the people that everybody do the same thing in unity, because that was the fault of the generation. So what he did at least was that if you're doing your own thing, at least contribute it towards the community. So that's why his major force wasn't making everybody give an equal amount to the Beis HaMikdash, but everybody giving what they could give in their unique way, but at least donate it towards the Beis HaMikdash, because the people were deficient insofar that they couldn't feel that they could everybody do together, right? Everybody made their own little bummer, right? Everybody wanted to have their own independence and their own expression of their individuality, right, in making a sacrifice. So at least he tried to take your own individuality and donate it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now at Seaboard, it says, is the Rashi Tevos of Tzadik, Beinoni, Beis, Vira, and Rasha. That means that as long as the Rasha wants to be part of the community, that's why the Vav is there. Seaboard is not Tzadik Beis Reish, it's Tzadik Beis Vav Reish, Virasha. When the Rasha connects himself to the Tzadik and the Beinoni, even though he personally is a Rasha, but he wants to be part of the Seaboard, then he's also considered part of the Seaboard. But if the Vav isn't there, then it's not a Tzibur. Then the Rasha can't be included. Connect himself. And even a Tzadik would connect himself to the community. He's not a Tzadik. A person who's Poresh, but not Tzibur. A person who separates himself from the Tzibur is a Rasha. So you need that Vav. Okay? And that's why when the Jewish people were counted, each person was separated. Counting separates people. Therefore, you need kofar nefesh. How do you atone for being separated by contributing towards the tzibur with your unique part, right? So, and equally. So, when they were separated, they gave a machsa shekel, right? They gave a hefesh shekel towards the building of the mishkan, towards the sacrifice, the communal sacrifices, which means even though I'm being counted separately, and I'm an individual, but my individuality is contributing towards the seaboard. That takes away the chance of a person being harmed because he's separated from the seaboard. Okay? That's why it says...
That's why death was the way they were counted.
Right, exactly. And that's why it says that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they announce two things. One is the Shkolim, because they need it again to prepare a month ahead of time for the new year of sacrifices, and Kilayim. Also, in the month of Adar, things started to grow in the fields, and if things grew in, you know, diverse things in the same field, like wheat and barley in the same field or whatever, right? So they had to uproot it because you weren't allowed to have things growing that were diverse kinds. That's called Kilayim. So they also made an announcement. They sent out people to remind people that they should check their fields and make sure that diverse things aren't growing. Kilayim isn't growing there. Now that's practical, but I think there's a deeper meaning here. Shkolim is getting people together. Everybody contributing their half to make a whole, right? Everybody feeling I'm not complete in myself unless I'm part of the tzibur. So the whole idea of shkolim is unity. Kilayim is where you have a lot of diverse things growing together and separating them. So kilayim represents separation, and the shkolim represent connection and unity. Why? Because when people have a common goal and they all are working towards the same thing, then there's shkolim, then there's unity. But if it's diverse kinds, right, if everybody's doing their own thing, right, then it could be that unity is a negative thing sometimes. Because if you have the wrong kinds of things uniting, they can be uniting for the wrong purposes, then you have to separate it. So at the same time that we were announcing the proper kind of unity, we were announcing that there's kinds of unity that are not proper also. And that's what's it called, that's what we have to learn from this Haftorah, that on the one hand, the foundation of the Jewish people is that unity that we have, and you can't have anything, you can't destroy the evil, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash until you have that unity, which is echoed in the Seder of the week, by Yaakov. Moshe first gathered the Jewish people together, right, told them about Shabbos, and then told them to build a Mishkan, right, and asked for their equal contributions. At the same time, there's place for individualism in Judaism, where everybody contributes voluntarily what they can once there's the structure and framework of the community.